tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 30th of June, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we're going to start off with some more about the Henry Novak news story. Bits continue to be leaked out effectively to the mainstream media over the last couple of weeks. We've heard how Vikram Digwa, the killer of Henry Novak, how he was recorded on the backseat of the police car talking to his brother about his plans to lie about the issue and claim that it was a racist attack by Henry Novak rather than it was he, Digwa, who murdered Henry Novak. So that came out. And then we had the police camera footage of when Henry Novak was dying and he was just handcuffed there on the ground saying, I've been stabbed, effectively. And the police just said, I don't think you have, mate, quite famously. And then Henry Novak was saying, I can't breathe. They're going to have an inquiry into this. They're looking into this, but they're not going to look into the individual officers. And I think that really proves that we have this anti-white system, because they're not saying that the officers did anything wrong. The officers, I think, acted correctly in line with police procedures. And police procedures are, if someone makes an accusation of racism, it then becomes a critical incident. And that has to be investigated before anything else. And also, the person who is alleging they were a victim of the racism, if they are a minority with protected characteristics, i.e. non-white, they have to be believed. And this is police instructions. This is how the police are supposed to operate. So I think this is why these officers are not being investigated. And people are complaining and saying, well, these officers need to be punished for this. But, well, no, because it's the whole system that caused this to happen. It wasn't the individual officers. They were obeying their training. They were acting in line with their instructions from the police. It's the police itself that needs to change these instructions. And it's the police itself and also the people that create the laws for the police and the guidance that they follow, the College of Policing. They're the ones that need to be held to account for this. They are the ones that need to be investigated, not the individual police officers. Now, they're looking at something else now as well, because there were anti-migrant hotel protests that were taking place near to this. And they believe that that might have had an influence on the individual officers as well. And I'm taking the news article to begin today from the Daily Mail. And its headline is, Police watchdog to probe if officers who handcuffed dying student Henry Novak were influenced by protests at a nearby asylum hotel. The police watchdog will investigate whether officers who handcuffed dying student Henry Novak were influenced by protests at a nearby asylum hotel. The Independent Office for Police Conduct will announce this week that its inquiry into Hampshire police has widened to consider whether officers mistakenly treated the murder victim as a suspect because of local anti-immigration protests. And they could use this to try and effectively get the police instructions off, couldn't they? They could say, oh, well, this is because this happened because there were these anti-immigration protests and the officers made a mistake because they thought that he might have been involved in that. In which case, you're then saying it was the officer's mistake. I don't believe it was the officer's mistake. I believe it was entirely down to the College of Policing and the instructions that they have given to the police, and before that, the Equality Act, which is what the police were trying to implement, what the Office of Police at College of Policing were trying to implement when they gave these instructions, that anything that was, any accusation of racism had to be treated as a critical incident. So I don't think it was the officers that were at fault here. It's the Equality Act that is at fault, and it is the instructions from the College of Policing. And the fact that they're going to look at this and say, well, could it have been to do with these anti-immigration protests? That's sort of like trying to put the blame onto the officers themselves rather than their instructions, which is really a cut and dried case. I mean, it's black and white. It's there in black and white in their instructions. You know, the police have these instructions that there's groups with protected characteristics and there's groups who are unprotected, and white people are unprotected. And after the McPherson report, the murder of Stephen Lawrence and the way that that was handled by the police, they had an investigation, and at the end of it, they came out with all these recommendations for the police to follow. And parts of these recommendations were that if somebody made an accusation of racism, that was a very, very serious thing, and the person making the accusation had to be believed. Which is why we say the system is anti-white and it's two-tier, because anybody can make an accusation of racism, and straight away, they have to be believed. They cannot be doubted. And of course, the only person that can be accused of racism is the white man. The Daily Mail has learned that the watchdog is sticking to its decision not to investigate the conduct of the individual officers involved, instead treating them as witnesses in their inquiry. In a case which shocked the nation, police arrested and handcuffed the 18-year-old as he lay dying after his killer, Vikram Digwa, falsely claimed he had been racially abused. And Vikram Digwa was not even handcuffed. After he was arrested and charged with murder, they didn't even put him in handcuffs. This is, the two-tier system in action, where they don't want to upset non-whites. They don't want to be seen as racist in any way, because if they are, they can lose their job. I mean, it has been said that if you work for the civil service or you work for any of these branches of the government, pretty much the only thing you can actually lose your job for is racism. There's so much red tape around everything else. So they're desperate not to be accused of racist. And they may have thought, well, we might be accused of racism if we put him in handcuffs. Earlier this month, Shadow Home Secretary Chris Philp and former Home Secretary Suella Braverman called for the arresting officers to face a full misconduct investigation after the dying student's cries of "I've been stabbed" went ignored by an officer who scoffed, "I don't think you have, mate." Again, it's not the officer's misconduct that is at fault here. It's the instructions from the College of Policing, and all these calls for them to be investigated for misconduct. It's blaming the officers for a fault, a systemic fault, basically, that we have within our system. And it's all throughout the West. It's not just in Britain. The IOPC has already spent 6 months examining the circumstances of the appalling case in which police were tricked by the 23-year-old killer shortly after he stabbed Mr. Novak 5 times on a night out in Southampton last December. And you may remember when the police originally put out their statement, they were saying, well, we had no other statements to tell us that anything other than what we were told, that this was a racist attack. That's all we knew. And that's nonsense, because the lad that was dying there was telling them, "I've been stabbed." But because he was white and the other person was non-white and made an allegation of racism, the police automatically had to believe the person making the accusation of racism, which of course is the two-tier system in a nutshell. Investigators will consider Hampshire Police's arrest of the victim, officers' use of handcuffs, and first aid, but the individual officers concerned have not been served with any notice of investigation, as the probe is not currently considering individual wrongdoing. And that's what I think people need to be focusing on, because this shows you that it's a two-tier system, that this anti-white behaviour is ingrained in the system, because the officers are not being accused of individual wrongdoing. But there is obviously wrongdoing there because of what happened. So the only thing that can be the cause of it is the system itself. And I think you know, it surprises me that people like Suella Braverman and mainstream politicians are talking about going after the individual officers when it's the system itself. They claim to be against the anti-white system and want to change it. Well, why aren't they picking up on this point and saying, well, this is the proof of it? The fact that the officers' misconduct is not being investigated. This week, the IOPC will announce the scope of their probe has widened to consider whether local protests about migrants was a contributory factor in officers' thinking. The murder on December 3rd last year happened minutes from Highfield House Hotel, where protests have been taking place since May last year, and the Home Office began using the site to house about 100 asylum seekers. So the people there in that area, they were concerned about the illegal immigrants, and of course, illegal immigrants are much more likely to carry out sexual assaults and rapes, much more likely than the indigenous British population. But even the legal migrants, the people that have migrated here legally, that may be first or second generation, they can still carry out attacks, as we see here. If it wasn't for the government's legal migration policy that allowed this family to settle in Britain, Henry Novak would still be alive, wouldn't he? He wouldn't have been murdered. When you think about it, must be hundreds of thousands of people that would still be alive or would not have been raped if it wasn't for the government's immigration policy. In the months before Mr. Novak was killed, tensions in the local area of Portswood were growing after a series of incidents, including the arrest of two asylum seekers for exposure and groping two women walking down a street. It seems as if there isn't an asylum hotel in the country that hasn't had accusations of sexual assault linked to it. And I mean, I'm only saying that as a conjecture, but that's what it appears like, because you just hear about them all the time. Every day you hear about another accusation of sexual assault or rape or murder connected to illegal immigrants. And if it's not connected to illegal immigrants, it will be connected to the legal ones, the ones that the government allowed in legally. Locals described a climate of ongoing racial abuse due to the anti-migrant protests at the hotel. In September, police had launched an arson investigation after a flare was thrown through a ground floor window. I mean, it's quite clearly there's a lot of dislike here for the illegal immigrants that are being put up in a hotel. And it's not surprising, really, if they're groping and exposing themselves to young women. I mean, that's what I mean. This is the sort of thing that goes on outside of these hotels. You hear of schoolgirls being propositioned, rapes. That Rhiannon White, she was murdered. She was stabbed to death with a screwdriver. And just this week, we've heard of a two-year-old child who was raped and murdered by somebody who was of African heritage. I think he had a French citizenship and he was living here. So he was here legally, and yet he carried out this horrendous attack. And as I say, these things would not be happening if these people weren't here. And the only reason why these people are here is because of our government's immigration policy allows them to be here. Police had made 5 arrests since protests began last summer and issued 5 dispersal orders, including one in November, just days before the murder, 500 metres from the hotel. So this is one of the reasons why they're looking at it, is because it is so close to this hotel. And you can imagine when this happened that the general public probably thought, because they hear so much about illegal immigration and it's linked with crime, they probably instantly thought, well, it must have been an illegal immigrant. But no, it was a completely legal migrant. This is why I say there's no real difference between them. Whether they have a piece of paper telling them they are a citizen or whether they don't, they're still a foreign ancestry, and if they were not in this country, they could not be carrying out these crimes, and these people would still be alive. Henry Novak would still be alive if it wasn't for the British government allowing Sikhs to move into the country and giving them citizenship. When police arrived on the scene, Digvar, who used a Sikh ceremonial blade to carry out the stabbing, told them, "This isn't the first time we've had altercations. We've had people racially attack us during the morning." And again, this just shows you the problems with multiculturalism. If diversity is not a strength, it means that you're going to have one ethnic group against another ethnic group. We're basically setting ourselves up for civil war, effectively, in the future, because not all ethnic groups' interests are the same. That's the long and the short of it. One ethnic group might want one thing, and another ethnic group might want another thing. And because of that, there's going to be friction. There will always be friction in multicultural areas. And this is evidence of that. This is evidence that diversity is not a strength. Obviously, it's wrong to racially attack people, as it says here. But things like racial attacks could not occur if we didn't have diversity. If you didn't have a multicultural country, you wouldn't have any racial attacks ever. An IOPC spokesman said, "We have been updating our terms of reference following recent discussions with Henry's family. Once all concerned parties are notified, we will be in a position to provide further information." And I think we will continue to hear about this. It will continue to there will continue to be more news about this. I mean, we also learned that the police tried to put out a statement blaming Henry Novak, saying that he had started this altercation with the Sikh. And it wasn't until Henry Novak's family had a look through this notice that was being given out that they changed it. And they had to change it twice because the police were trying to blame the white man, effectively, for his own murder. So I'm sure this won't be the last that we hear about this. Also, over the weekend, we learned about grooming gangs in London. Now, Sadiq Khan has always denied that there were any grooming gangs in London, and he's been directly asked this question, and he's denied it. Well, now we discover that there are 4,000 potential grooming gang cases in London. And this is from GB News. The headline is, "Met Police uncovers 4,000 potential grooming gang cases as Sadiq Khan faces fresh scrutiny over London claims." So Sadiq Khan is facing fresh scrutiny over his previous claims about grooming gangs in London after the Met Police identified more than 4,000 potential child sexual exploitation cases that could now be reopened. Why are they being reopened? Because they just didn't investigate this. There needs to be an investigation into why these allegations were not investigated. Because, of course, we know that they didn't want to investigate these things because they didn't want to, because that had the potential to create community tension between communities. That's why they didn't investigate this. The findings first revealed by The Telegraph come after Scotland Yard examined around 12,000 reports of alleged child sexual exploitation dating back to 2010. Roughly one in three cases are now flagged for potential reinvestigation after police or the Crown Prosecution Service previously decided to take no further action. Well, how can that be? How can it be that when looking at these cases now, they say, well, these need to be reinvestigated? And how could it be that when the young girls reported it to the police, they decided they weren't going to investigate it? You see, there has to be an investigation of why this decision was made in the first place to get to the bottom of this. And also why Sadiq Khan was blatantly lying and saying there was no evidence of this. I mean, perhaps there had been no convictions for this, but the reason why there were no convictions is because the police refused to investigate. Whether that was because the police themselves decided they wouldn't investigate, or whether that was because the Crown Prosecution Service said that they should not investigate. Sir Sadiq previously insisted that there was no indication grooming gangs were operating in the capital. So it seems as if you reported somebody being groomed and raped, they would just not investigate it, simply because it was grooming, because it was accusing members of the Islamic community, predominantly, for carrying this out. Of course, there were also Sikhs that were involved. I think there was also a white woman that was involved in one instance. You've got Africans that were involved, but predominantly the people that are involved are Pakistani. I think they make up about 90% of the grooming gang cases. And that's the reason why he said there was no indication, because he saw it as more important not to, quote-unquote, demonise Muslims. He thought that was more important than investigating these claims that these young girls had been raped. Appearing before the London Assembly Police and Crime Committee in January 2025, the mayor repeatedly declined to answer questions from Conservative member Susan Hall about the scale of grooming gangs in London. When asked how many rape gangs were operating in the capital, Sir Sadiq repeatedly asked Miss Hall to clarify what she meant. At a later committee session, he said, "My understanding from speaking to the police, and she will appreciate I have done on a regular basis, is, and I choose my words carefully, for the reasons she will understand, there are no reported cases and also no indication of the grooming gangs that she is concerned about in London." Now, that statement there reminds me of the statement that the French lady on the left made, which we discussed in the podcast on Friday. And this left-wing politician was saying, you should never concede anything to the so-called far right. You should never admit that anything that they say is true. And that's effectively what Sadiq Khan has done here. It's quite obvious there will be rape gangs operating in the capital because they've been operating in every other major city in Britain. And yet he has refused to admit that there was anything to do with that because he sees that as conceding to somebody on the far right. Even though it's an obvious fact, he has to deny it because he sees the person asking the question as somebody from the far right, because, as it says here, she was a Conservative representative. His comments prompted accusations of a cover-up, with victims claiming the mayor was gaslighting them. The review follows Baroness Casey's landmark report into group-based child sexual exploitation, which concluded that the criminal justice system had failed victims for decades. And that report in itself was a cover-up, because they never actually investigated grooming gangs. They just investigated all child sexual abuse. They never asked a question about the grooming gangs. And is there a disproportionate number of Muslims that are involved in the grooming gangs? They never asked that. They just lumped in grooming gangs with all the other sexual assault cases. And then they said, oh, well, there's no overrepresentation of Muslims in all of them together. And you wouldn't expect that. Out of all of them together, you would expect the white people to be responsible for about 85% of them, because 85% of the population. But if you specifically look at grooming gang cases, you'll see that probably over 90% of the grooming gangs identify as Muslims. So even Baroness Casey's report wasn't good enough, and that's why they're having a new report now, a new national inquiry that's taking place at the moment. Baroness Casey's recommendations led to the National Crime Agency launching Operation Beaconport, a nationwide review of child sexual exploitation cases that may have been closed prematurely. The Metropolitan Police has now referred all 4,000 flagged cases to the NCA, which is expected to decide within weeks how many should be formally reopened. I think the NCA is the National Crime Agency, and I think that was partially set up in order to deal with grooming gang cases. In areas such as South Yorkshire and Greater Manchester, perpetrators in high-profile grooming gang cases have predominantly been Pakistani Muslim men. And as I say, in Europe, we have the same phenomenon, but it's different. In Finland, they will be Somali grooming gangs. In Holland, they will be Moroccan grooming gangs. I forget which African country it is that they come from in France, but these grooming gangs are all over Europe, and it's not in particular part of the world that they come from. The fact that seems to unite them is they are predominantly Muslim. As we see here, they're predominantly Pakistani. As I say, in Finland, they'll be predominantly Somalian, Holland, predominantly Moroccan. It depends what the majority of the country's Muslims come from, what country they actually come from determines this. But it does certainly seem to be linked to Islam, even though, as I say, there have been Sikhs that were involved in this. And of course, Sikhs come from the same part of the world as the Pakistanis. Pakistan used to be a part of India anyway. However, London's cases are understood to involve a broader range of offender backgrounds and include intrafamilial abuse, online exploitation, and in-person offending. So these won't all be grooming gang cases. Miss Hall described the findings as utterly disgraceful. It has been like getting blood out of a stone, she said. And that's because he sees her as on the right, and he doesn't want to concede anything to the right because he has the same mentality as the left has in France when they say, well, you just have to deny that France was ever a white or a Christian country because it's the right wing that say that it was. And how childish can you get? The Conservative London Assembly member said the scale of the review should force people to confront the extent of the abuse. The resistance I have encountered has been totally unacceptable. And when you look at the number of cases being reviewed, you have to stop and think. That is 4,000 young girls raped and sexually abused. And you have to think how dreadful that is. Well, according to the Rape Gang report, they think it was about 250,000 young girls that were raped and trafficked by the grooming gangs. 250,000, that's 250,000 young white girls raped and trafficked by grooming gangs. And you have the Mayor of London trying to cover this up. You have Keir Starmer, who was the head of the Crown Prosecution Service at a lot of the time that this was going on. And the Crown Prosecution Service tried to cover this up. And they still try to cover it up now. They still accuse the people that ask the questions about this of being the far right and politicising this. Because people don't want it to happen again. They want it stopped, basically. And you're not going to be able to stop it unless you have an national inquiry to look into it and get it down on paper exactly what it is, what's gone on, and who was responsible. A spokesman for Sir Sadiq rejected any suggestion of a cover-up, saying the mayor had welcomed the review and had been clear, we must leave no stone unturned. Yes, but when the mayor was asked about this, he denied that there was any such thing, or any indication of such a thing. City Hall also pointed to £2.4 million announced last November to fund specialist support services for survivors of child sexual exploitation. Met Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley has warned the force will require additional officers and resources to carry out any fresh investigations, noting officers already dealt with around 2,000 sexual offences every month. So they're going to need additional officers. Well, how about they take the officers that are currently dealing with people's comments online and put them towards investigating sexual assault claims? When somebody makes an allegation that somebody is shoplifting from their shop, the police don't do anything at all. When someone makes an allegation that somebody in the shop said something racist, three police will arrive straight away. So how about they stop diverting their resources towards people being critical of immigration policy and divert those police officers to dealing with those grooming gang cases? I think that's not an unreasonable request to make, and I think most of the people in the country would agree with that. Deputy Assistant Commissioner Kevin Southworth urged victims and survivors to come forwards, saying they will be listened to and supported. Well, how can you expect people to come forward now when for the last 10 years, every single one of them, when they came forward and said, I'm a victim of a grooming gang, they were ignored and it was not investigated? I mean, it's all very well saying they will be listened to and supported, but the facts of the matter and the experience of the people that reported this is that they will not be listened to, they will not be supported. And in some cases up until now, what the Crown Prosecution Service did, they just let the rapists know that the victim had gone to the police about it. And they just wrote them a letter saying, oh, will you leave this person alone? They didn't arrest them. They didn't charge them. They just sent them a warning letter, which effectively let the rapists know that their victim had gone to the police and effectively grassed them up, which just put the victims in even more of a risky situation. I mean, the more you look at this, it's horrendous. And you can see why the politicians don't want to investigate it, because they know how horrendous it is. They know how horrendous their behaviour has been in trying to cover all of this up. Well, I did have another article for today, but I don't think we're going to get time to look into it. We'll look at the headline. It says, record 20,000 foreign criminals avoid deportation. And every time these cases occur, such as these grooming gang cases in court, and they're found guilty, we're told, and they will be liable for deportation. But they are never deported. There are two reasons for this. One of the reasons are that they start claiming that they have a family relation that lives in Britain, and it can be a distant relative, and they have to stay. Or if it's a sex crime, they can say, well, if I go back to my Muslim country now after being convicted of a sex crime, I will be hanged for that offence. I will be executed. So because these Muslim countries would execute them if they were sent back, they end up staying in Britain. And what this news story here is about what they're going to do is they're going to change the guidance somewhat so they can only claim that they have a family relation if it's immediate family, not if it's like a cousin or an uncle, which I don't think will make that much difference. And I think people are pretty scandalized that these people are not sent back because they would be punished in their home country for doing such a thing. And if they will be punished in their own country as well, well, they should have thought about that first before raping and sexually exploiting the young girls in the country they were living in. They should have thought about that, really. I think we should just deport them, regardless of what's going to happen to them once they've been deported there. Whatever happens to them once they get there is their own fault, isn't it, really? It's not the British people's fault. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.